Yep.
Yeah, we'll help with the ID.
You can go ahead and start, I'll just add all out in when you get on.
Welcome everybody out to our special work session tonight on roads. And we'll start with the roll call.
I'll try again, I'll look at Sam.
Yes, here.
Rodney?
Here.
Cole?
Yes.
Mike?
Yeah.
And Kevin?
Kevin.
Yep.
And Justin, hopefully you'll be bringing us in.
There you go, Kevin, sweet deal.
Oh, I just brushed my teeth.
Let's not rush the game before you go fast.
I'll get me a little pie.
Candy man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a story about the candy man, World War II. He was in Utah too, so. I'm in church and here, I'm the candy man.
He was from the Spanish Fork area.
You probably know with the nephews and stuff then, maybe. Keystone? No?
Northern Utah, yeah. Where we gonna start this?
I'd like to know one question, how many residential zone, what, how many zones have we got?
What about you, Sam?
Zoning. Yeah, like multi-family housing.
RA.
RS.
So RA.
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 RA equals?
Residential agriculture.
And is there a certain size lot on that?
Quarter acre.
Yeah, it probably ought to be though, because it doesn't, that allows certain animals, but does it allow certain animals per size of lot?
Perfect, kept the 1 acre lot, yes.
So, see that per acre lot, and if you're allowing a quarter acre, then does that mean they're not allowed animals, because they don't meet the 1 acre lot?
Usually, you might say you'd be applying with a single.
Because I know there's a lot of violations out there on that, if that's the case.
What's the other ones?
Residential, single, family dwelling.
So that's RS.
RS.
Residential.
Quarter acre lot with that too.
Single family.
Yep. The only difference really is they're not supposed to have animals.
I can't imagine having, allowing animals on a quarter acre lot with a house. Is that what the ag means, that they can have animals?
Yep.
Well, chickens, I guess.
You probably gotta look at that and define that, because I know several places that are, got several horses and they're under an acre.
Well, there's a lot of places in the RS that are not supposed to even have animals.
That have animals, yeah. So, I don't know, I guess it's a whole other.
Okay.
It's a whole other mess.
What else?
Then your RM zone, residential multiple family dwelling.
Commercial.
Multi-family.
Yep.
And then?
And then technically, we do have the RMH, residential multiple, like the trailer park.
Mobile home type.
Mobile homes.
So RSMA?
RMH.
RMA?
H. RMH.
RMH, residential mobile home, huh? So like a trailer park?
Yep.
Like Aspen Village?
Yes.
Is that what that zone is?
Yep.
The one on Third, or Main Street and Third East and Fourth East there.
Yeah.
It should be.
That's all?
Yep.
Well, you have commercial zones. You have a commercial zone and you have a modified commercial zone.
And then public facility.
So we got a modified commercial?
Yep.
M? MC?
It's GC, actually, general commercial.
General?
Commercial.
So what's the abbreviation, GC?
GC, yep.
General commercial?
Yep.
Which means?
It's more open to allowing commercial usage.
Is there residentials in that zone?
Yes.
Is that what Fifth West is?
Fifth West is actually commercial manufacturing, which...
So C?
Not the C, but the chain.
CM?
CM, yeah.
Which is commercial manufacturing?
Yep.
What else?
Modified commercial.
M, C?
Yep.
Modified commercial?
Yep.
What does that allow?
It allows the same uses as commercial, but it's based upon a conditional use. And the intention of it is kind of a buffer zone or a transition zone between residential to like your bigger commercial zones. Like a buffer between those uses.
And isn't that what most of Fifth West is?
Actually, a lot of it's on State Street as you're going down State Streets. On State Side, you're down that commercial manufacturing zone. Modified commercial kind of follows Main Street.
Main and State?
Or State Street. State Street, yes. State Street.
Not it? So what would you zone that road going down to the Concoy?
That's in RA zone. Except for the south side that is in the...
Industrial?
That industrial park, manufacturing park.
Why would we zone that road going down the Concoy commercial? Is that what we talked about?
We talked about it.
Part of the reason being is the north side of the road is not in the city limits.
It's all county.
It's all county on the north side of that road.
On the north side of 9th?
Of
1,000 south.
1,000 south?
Yep.
Yeah.
So are industrial parks in the county?
No, it's in the city. That's because that's been annexed, but the north side of the road going to the arena.
All that fence line on the north.
Well, we can solve that.
Yeah.
You're only talking about the armory?
No, it's all the land on the north side.
Oh, on the north side.
Undersea property and all that going down.
All on the north side is in the county?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
How far?
All the way down.
All the way down.
I mean north. How far?
All the way clear over, quite a ways. It goes clear over.
The city only goes like the half a block west of Fifth West.
Yeah.
And then everything else is in the county.
I know, but I'm talking about north.
So you're playing south
all the way.
All the way.
Clear.
No, I'm talking about one block. There's a half a block along Fifth West. There's the, like you say, about, I don't know, it's about, what, 200 feet off the road. There's the county, that's the county line, everything west. So everything west is in the county. So we need to annex 900, or what is it, 1,000?
1,000.
That could be annexed in for commercial.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If we had a need for commercial, do we have any commercial areas, Dave?
Like vacant commercial land?
Like, what's the rodeo ground?
We rezoned that to general commercial in like 2013, 14-ish.
General commercial, which allows anything?
Any form of commercial, yeah.
I'm just saying that Justin is on now.
Huh?
Justin's on now, if you guys...
So, okay. So, which kind of commercial? I think we got to think ahead, because that's going to be a major collector road, right? To our buffer zone.
Well, I think North County 1000 is probably going to turn residential.
Well, but if we want it to be... Where are you going to put your commercial development?
Well, that I don't know. The people that own the property, they're talking residential.
Well, I think
we're going to have to annex too over.
He's quite a way over, but.
Well, where I zoned, commercial manufacturing, on my side of 500 West.
For how far though?
Right down the main street.
From one end of the town to the other.
Well, I know west. Like we've said, about 200.
West side of 500 West.
All, everything in city limits.
All of those homes on the west side, right?
Yeah.
But it only goes about 200 feet down to that, right away or that easement, right, goes along. And everything west of there will be county. And that's where Johansson's going to put their lots in. That'll have to be annexed.
Right. That's what we're planning.
And so Todd, Beasley, he's putting in his home down there right now. And I know that Denny can talk about Senator Biden. That's on the north side. Demick's right there.
Demick?
Yeah, right where you turn to go into Concord, that home just on the north side, that's old Ron Demick, I think.
Whole problem with all those is we get up water, we don't have water yet, so we don't have to worry.
Well, I guess I'm just thinking ahead, so we really don't have a designated area for any commercial.
No, didn't we talk about the old north and east out here? But then they're looking at making residential too. Wasn't that what we was talking about, going commercial north of town?
That was in a proposed buffer zone going west, oh, west on Fifth on Main, and then going north was zoned on the county ordinance, business commercial, I think is the county zoning.
Well,
that can be rechanged though anytime, and we felt like.
The need was there for change to commercial.
I mean, you're going, now you're going to Ephraim, there might be some property along there, but you know, a lot of your commercial areas are not on a major highway. They're off so you can do your parking.
Yeah, I understand. You know, you might get old Demick, and then I believe Jim Sultan owns the property above them, doesn't he, Mike?
I think that's Dick Reese.
Other month, Dick Reese's property.
That's wrong.
Jim's running it.
Jim's just running it.
Yep.
I've seen him on that.
Yeah, he farms.
So, you know, that could be commercial if they want to sell to us.
Well, I don't know, they don't even buy it, we just.
As it got annexed into the city limits, we deemed the zoning as it's annexed in. Is what we'd have to do.
I just seen that wrong. Basically, it'd be a continuation of Terrell's, and you could have businesses all along there, and they would actually be off the highway a little bit, but they'd be visible from the highway. We talked about that one night and thought, yeah, that'd be an excellent road for commercial establishments.
Yeah, well, it would.
But, so is there any other zoning? Is there any other zoning?
I think we've hit all the main ones, but the public facility one you might not have heard of.
Public facility?
Yeah, so like our schools.
Oh.
Parks. Parks.
So what do we use to show up tonight?
So that's kind of what we're going to talk about.
Good.
Size of roads for, we have these developers coming and asking us what would require for sure. Because all we have in our ordinance is basically curb and gutter and 50-foot road.
Right, and that's, I just wanted to know that, because we also talked about having a different road width for different zonings, right?
We talked a little bit about that.
And I don't see the purpose of a residential ag with a quarter of an acre. I would think that would be more like something the Johansons are building down there, or doing down there.
That's 1 acre. Only 1 acre down there?
Right. So what, I don't see.
The downfall of that is if you do it as a subdivision, you don't want horses all over in your subdivision or anything.
Well,
like that.
The 1 acre lots, and they're, right now they're outside of the city, but the reality of it is continue to grow, and it will be a subdivision, but if you're going to have a 1 acre lot, what are you going to put on it?
Horses. animals.
Most of those people are gonna be moving, they're, the grow, the Contoy is drawing people in and of itself here.
Does it, does the subdivisions have different zones, ain't they, most of them, how do they zone?
We would look at our available zoning code, and the planning commission will give a recommendation to you as to what it would go zone with. Which that's where I'm kinda, this is just my personal opinion, I feel like these current classifications, as I'm talking to some of these developers, it kinda, it's starting to seem aged, like. I don't know, we have enough diversity in that code classification.
What'd you say the county's classifying as?
Well, the county, I wouldn't quite go with, because they're just in unincorporated areas, and I would suggest looking more like someone like Ephraim or Nephi for kind of like those R1 through R4 designations, and then they have a separate, I forget how they do the agriculture, but that's a separate one, kinda too. So you could look at a subdivision, kinda say, do we want animals in, yes or no, and then how big of a density do we wanna have? It just, it kinda gives you more flexibility, and I feel like that's a clear message too for developers, is what kind of lot sizes you're, that are requesting and that we would wanna see.
Probably minimum lot sizes, are you gonna?
They specify minimum lot sizes, yes, you can always probably build up. Although there again, you have the flexibility to say, we don't like this site plan, it kinda has a hodgepodge of lot sizes or something like that, but you still have flexibility when you're approving that subdivision plan.
Well, I think, I almost think that, people are coming down here for the rural environment, and they're gonna want larger lots, they're gonna wanna have, whether it's chickens or maybe a few sheep or a horse or two or whatever. I mean, you could build, with 1 acre, you could build a stall barn on there and have 4 or 5 horses if that's all you was gonna do. So I just think.
What is our, since you got the code book there, Dave, what does?
I don't think it allows that many horses.
I was gonna say, what is our code for animals on the acre?
Because it's more large animals per vacant 1 acre.
Vacant.
Vacant 1 acre.
Because see, the problem I know you get into, we've had in the past, is certain people complain because their neighbor got like lots of pigs on there and they're stinking, and you create problems that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just where I'm thinking of, you know, I'm not saying I don't like, it's a bad idea to have animals, because I've got chickens myself, but, you know, I think there also has to be that consideration of neighbors.
Right, right.
You know, of horses or whatever you got, that is gonna cause a stink and a problem if you've got more than what you should have on there anyway.
Or how they're pinned in too.
You know, or not pinned in.
Not pinned in, yeah.
But those are just thoughts, that's my thought, is more where I was thinking, I guess.
Well, are we gonna have developers that are gonna wanna do 5 acre lots?
It's not cost effective.
I've never heard.
I don't know how big down guy out the gravel pit's talking about, but.
You go to the county, like you're saying, then you go out to the county setting more.
Yeah. Can I comment?
Yeah.
Open the public comment. I mean, Kate Quinn, I am a developer from Utah County, wanted to hear this discussion and weigh in, because we are looking at some land on the northeast corner of Buff Mountainville Highway. And, you know, the benefits of being in the city is you've got all your utilities, and so it's more cost effective to do smaller lot size within the city, you know, quarter, third acre, half acre lots. Once you get up to 1 acre is when it's more reasonable to pay for a well and septic and those kind of things. But if you're gonna have larger lots within the city, it's hard to justify selling that off, because you're hooking right on utilities, and people that are wanting to be in the city and have access to the utilities are gonna only be able to afford a smaller lot size and want that. And I think quarter is plenty small for this area. I was surprised when I was reading the code to see that residential agriculture allows a quarter lot.
I think another thing you gotta look at too is your utility stretching
like one transformer, like for us, if we set a transformer, we can only stretch that so far before you see a line loss, then you gotta set another transformer. And so bigger lots, you're gonna have a lot more infrastructure involved.
Well, if he wants 1 acre lot, so what's his, so is that gonna be a problem? You're gonna have to have more than one transformer?
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to stretch the secondaries out as far as you can, or.
But the developer pays for that, right?
They do pay for that, but to me, if you, you know, you want to utilize your transformers, that's your responsibility. So if you want to get at least 5 connections on that transformer, instead of having 1, because if you don't, we're running into like what we have on the Skyline, where you have all these transformers that are light loaded, you're losing power. Because they're still running and everything, but you're not, the power is just sitting there. So you're paying for that loss.
Doesn't Spring City have 5 acre lot requirements?
They got an acre.
Well, that's right in town, right? Yeah. You gotta have an acre in town to build the house.
Yeah, we ran into that issue over there running utilities for Spring City.
Okay, so why do they have 1 acre lots?
Because that's the way Brigham and Young laid it out, and them and Gettysburg are the only two cities that are still on the original historical
designer.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm asking is, do the people in Spring City all, most of them have animals on those 1 acre lots, or do they just have gardens, or do they just have
both? You drive around town, you get to see them both.
So every lot in Spring City that they build on is 1 acre.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, my concern is that with the market, where the market is right now, property values, with 1 acre lots, that property is only available to about 10% of the population. I mean, I'm just throwing a number out there. Most people aren't going to be able to afford a 1 acre building lot. I mean, you're talking over $100,000 for your building lot at 1 acre.
Your average house probably right now is about
40%. So are we, you know, not giving people, middle class people, the opportunity to live here? It's almost like you're just making it exclusive for the wealthy people.
Well,
I don't think we're making it exclusive for them. I think that's.
Well, we had a 1 acre lot minimum.
Yeah, the trouble is you can't afford to keep running your utilities just like Shane. You can't be cost effective, because if you got, you know, what would you be? 4 houses a block?
Yeah.
So you'd have basically a house on every corner, and then you've got to maintain all your services, your water, your power, and it's just not cost effective either to run those utilities. You're back better off to go out to county, like you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Real well.
Yeah.
So, should Johansson consider doing smaller lots? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's up to them to decide, but however they do that subdivision, then again, that won't be able to be split, smaller than those lots. That's the thing, too.
I think that's where we got to decide zoning-wise, what areas we're going to zone for small acre lots and 1 acre lots.
And how small we're actually going to zone.
How close to town we want, like this northern end right up here on 5th North, and then north to towards behind the drive in there. Mm-hmm. I would think that would probably want residential. That's what I would think, anyway. I think that would be residential, and then west of town down here, where it already got farming going on, would be RA.
In reality, most places, bigger cities, I can see State Street buying up homes. You'll get a commercial person come in that wants to build something there, and they're going to buy all the homes up, and they're going to start building commercial. And it'll go across State Street. And then most, if any town you go in, most of their businesses are right on their main drags. I mean, that's a possibility.
May not stay here.
Yeah. Commercial, usually people come in with them big business, have all the money to work over.
But that's what we gotta decide.
I mean, I think, yeah, a quarter acre is a little, probably a little small for an RA zone area. But we wanna make it attainable for people that...
And I don't think it'd be bad to have an RA if they wanted, you know, three or four chickens, because that just is an added benefit, limited kind of this kind of community to have a few chickens lay eggs. I mean, so a grow up or something like that, I just think that there maybe ought to be some speculation.
So yeah, if you go back to our code where it says 1 acre is four large animals.
On developed lot.
So then you go to a quarter acre lot, number one, you can't have a big animal on there, period.
Correct.
No. So again, then the only thing you can go back to is your chickens and smaller animals.
Well, I think the one quarter acre residential ag ought to go away. I don't like
that. I do too.
I don't like that. And make it a third acre or something.
At least, yeah.
At least. You could do a half acre.
Maybe even
half. Alvin may want to consider half acre lots in his development.
We're not here to decide what you just want to put in there, but...
No, but we got to...
We got to get the roads and the zoning.
Because he's saying 1 acre lots, but if he designates 1 acre lots, are we going to let him cut them in half and build?
That was the one thing that we did specify. If they did have that subdivision approved at 1 acre, they could not divide them.
So he would just be in a residential ag deal with bigger lots.
Yeah.
Do away with the quarter acre.
Yeah, and that subdivision. In that subdivision only.
Well, just in town. I don't know how you do that now when they're already established, but...
Basically, what you'd have to do is you'd have to change the ordinance, and then as those houses sold, the grandfather clause would be gone.
Do we have to have a public hearing on that?
You would.
Is a quarter acre lot small up north?
No. That's a big lot up north.
That's a big lot.
I thought you made the comment a quarter acre lot's a small lot.
For this community, I think people, so I think you're going to have two, there's two, to Ronnie's point, there's two demographics that you're going to support here. There's locals that live here that you want affordable, attainable, they can work here in town and afford to live here and buy a lot or a house. And I think that's important to maintain that affordability. But I think there's also another segment of people that are wanting to live more rural than a Utah County setting and moving down here because of the agricultural and because of the animals. So I think if it is that lot has to be vacant to have animals, I think that might pose an issue.
Not totally vacant, it's appropriate.
Yeah.
It's actually five, I guess. That's why we saw the four, because we have the house on there. It's five.
But I think the demographic that will be moving down here will want a quarter, half, three-quarter acre lot if they are migrating from north to south. But probably not smaller than quarter. That's not to say that maybe within town, closer in, you allow those lots to be smaller, be more attainable for current residents and people that will be working within the county here. I think that would be...
What size lots are you seeing for smaller?
There's lots cleared down to 2,500 square feet.
Well, I don't think we need to entertain smaller than a quarter acre lot.
But you can also look at the cost of building nowadays to keep young kids here at affordable housing. You're probably down to that small of a lot.
Well, you probably are. Me personally, I like my 1 acre lot.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, how do you get a smaller quarter acre? I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like quarter acre lot.
But you got a younger generation. A lot of them don't want to take care of any yard work. They want to travel, and they don't want a yard either.
So well, then they're going to live in a condo style thing. They're going to.
But there again, that's where we need to classify those areas in town too.
Well, that'd be fine. But as far as a single family dwelling, because otherwise they're flipping cars are parked out in the road. And I think there had not to be any on in the street allowed.
You can still require two off-street parking stalls per single family residence. So there has to be a garage or a driveway tandem spot. You can require that too.
Yeah, you're going to need a quarter acre lot to do it.
We're obviously not gonna go, I don't feel good about going less than a quarter acre.
Depends on how high you go, because you look at most of the houses now, the garage is on the bottom and part of the stuff, and you're three stories high.
Yeah, I don't want to go, I don't think that quarter acre or maybe 8,000 square foot, I think is the smallest that a developer.
So 8,000 square foot, we're talking what, how wide, how?
A fifth of an acre?
That's about a fifth of an acre, right, yeah, I think that would be the smallest that someone would propose in a community like this. I'm not suggesting that Mount Pleasant go to the zoning that Lehigh City has where it's outrageous.
Well, there, they probably don't have much growth outside the city either, though it's gonna kind of be compact more inside, so they're probably, which makes more sense up there to make more growth, you know.
So I just want that to be clear, I'm not suggesting 2,500 square foot, I think probably, you know, I think yours is 10,000 square feet.
It is.
If you wanted some areas that were a little more dense, you could go down to 8,000, and I think that would be well received and more affordable.
Yeah.
But I think the general growth that's gonna happen in this area is probably gonna be quarter to half acre, some third, 1 acre.
I agree with him, I think people that's moving out of the city, they don't want to come down there and have the same thing they have in the city, they want space.
And they want animals, that's something that brought me to this zone in the city. Spring City has it, but you have to have 1 acre, but you can't have five animals on 1 acre here, which is unique, and I think that's gonna be attractive to people that want that lifestyle. They care about where their food comes from, they care about where their milk comes from. It's a big trend right now, and especially with people that are moving more rural, they want that. They want that lifestyle.
So where's your property at?
We're just between the subdivision where it's, what is it, 675 East and 335 North. There's a subdivision there with one access point. We're just to the east of that, to the Mountainville Highway.
Okay.
North of the Becks. Kind of an L shape.
Is that there through between Brothersons there?
Yeah, right behind Keys, goes around those other two houses back.
Behind Brothersons and then to the north.
Yeah, around, like Bruce Larson's.
And for that area, we're thinking mostly half acre, a couple third, and I only have right now 2 quarter acre just by the way it lays out with the road.
How many acres do you got there?
25 acres.
So did you buy it all from, I can't remember his name that had it all.
Jay Anderson.
Yeah. Nelson?
Anderson.
It's the Andersons, yeah.
Okay.
Jay Anderson has another little, he has
It's not his piece.
He has a 16 foot between that piece and the subdivision.
Uh-huh.
And then around behind the subdivision.
Right.
16 feet?
16 feet.
Well, can I make a suggestion? We go the residential ag ought to be at least a half of an acre. We change that wording in our code to residential ag to be bigger than a quarter, whether it's half or third. I would prefer a half. What difference is that going to make? I mean, if it says residential ag, that's allowing for a garden or a family milk cow or a...
Well, they can't have big animals on a quarter acre, right?
He said half.
I would say you have...
Huh? Did you say half a quarter acre?
Half. What does the code say?
A quarter acre, you can have one for sure.
One big animal?
Yeah.
Well, it could stay... It could...
This actually be a milk goat. Could be considered milk door or something.
Yeah.
I just don't see the reason for a quarter acre ag building lot.
Be curious how many we have out there that have got quarter acres that have animals on them.
Unless you want to create a whole nother.
I'll bet there's a lot. So I know a couple already that have put some chickens and.
There are a lot because people, that's why they moved down here and they don't think about that maybe they need to ask before they do and they just come in.
Yeah.
because they think this is rural, that's what they can do.
And that's an RS zone, right? Because the RA zone, that technically would be permitted to have a milk goat. And I think generally, you want the zoning to, from a high level of campus at 10,000 feet, you want it to meet your principles of what, how you want the city to grow, but you want it to be as open as possible to let the market drive. Because if you just say, no, we'll only do 1 acre lots, the market might not be ready to accept that. There's not people that will buy that. And so
I don't think we're suggesting that.
You want to let, and I'm going on the extreme end, right? Or if you just said smaller than a quarter acre, you know, so that's one thing that I see happen up north is you make the zoning so strict that land never becomes developable, or it takes a long, long time for that development. And so maybe that's the strategy, but generally you just want to make the zoning in the direction that you want the growth to go, and it, you know, broad enough that you can still let the market drive the range of size that the developer will provide, because the market will always determine what's going to be developed within the zoning code, if that makes sense.
Is Pleasant View subdivision that up quarter?
What's that?
They're a little bit bigger. Some of them are bigger. They're like 0.28, yeah. 0.32. So there's a little bit of flex space in that.
Where's that at?
That Pleasant View subdivision. They're the one George Johansson, as we call it all the time. Rondi's neighbors.
Well, they're squished in there pretty tight.
It's like put animals on a quarter acre. I think your minimum for animals really needs to be a third. But chickens, you know, it depends on how you define animals. Small animals, yeah, you can put on a quarter acre, but if you try to get a cow or a horse or...
And then little chicken coops you can buy down at IFA at $200 one, you can fit two or three chickens in there and they wouldn't be an issue at all on a quarter acre lot, really.
Well, you can designate it that way, quarter acre, small animal, third acre.
One large, maybe.
Yeah.
And if he wants small animal, he goes quarter acre lot. If he wants... one large animal, he goes 3 acre lots.
I mean, truthfully, I think we need to redo the whole zoning in the city and base it off of your lots. If your lot is this size, then it falls under that category, and so that's the animals you're able to have in it. Instead of trying to do this area is RA and this area is RS and everything else, it's more based off of you.
You don't want to spot some of this, like each individual lot like that. You'd still should have areas.
It'd still be all residential, but residential with no animals or residential with animals or something that way.
Well, it's not sure. That would hard to be pretty hard to track all if you bought them. Yeah. So, especially if, say, the guy before him didn't have animals and it was zoned that way, and then the new guy came and bought it, and then he wanted animals.
Well, it'd be based off your lot size, though. So, again, if you bought a quarter acre lot,
you could do it whatever.
You could have no animals or chickens, you know. If you buy a 3 acre lot, then you're entitled to one baby animal.
That would leave it all to the developer to decide how he wants to divide it up.
Yep.
Definitely needs to be addressed. We gotta work on the roads.
Yeah, let's work on the roads.
Well, that kind of shoots the idea of a different road for different zones. Yeah. That was a suggestion that was made at the last one, and that was what I was getting at. If you're just going to leave the zoning alone, then we'd better settle on a standard road and go from there. That's the way I'm reading it.
If a certain person came with a 1 acre lot, though, I think that, again, you need to, you could lay the roads again as a different issue, but kind of standard is what's going to be our standard, basically.
Well, the current code says 50 feet for minor local streets and secondary streets.
Yep.
Minor street?
Minor local streets and secondary streets.
And on Mapleton, there's just 32 minor local and 40 major local, according to this.
Yeah, it's comparison.
So I mean, that's, so we're wider than what they're requiring in Mapleton.
Minor local streets, and what was the other one?
Secondary streets.
Secondary.
Which is, like, to me, almost the same.
And that's the same, that's almost the same, because your secondary should be your minor.
Yeah.
Versus primary and a major.
And a prime, and a minor local street's how wide? Is that 50 footer?
In our current zone.
And what's the second, what's the secondary?
50 feet also.
And what I'm seeing,
what I see here with Santaquin, at the top of the page, is a two-lane parking. So you park on each side of the road, and they're designated major local, 62 feet wide. But they're throwing in 12 feet of landscaping in between the sidewalk and the curb and gutter. So if you take away that 12 feet, they're down 50 feet for their major local.
What are you looking at?
Right at the top of Santaquin here, the
two-lane.
The 62-foot major local. But they're putting in 12 feet of landscaping in between the sidewalk and the curb and gutter.
I don't have that either. I'm lost too.
So you take away that landscaping and you just go sidewalk, curb, gutter, street, you're 50 feet.
50 feet, so we're in line with what they've got anyway.
You know, I was walking across 4th East the other day and it's like, I like the sidewalk being back.
Off of the road.
Off the road, and it's like, if you have that gravel.
How many companies?
Well, okay. So they make three?
I've got the same.
This.
I'll make a copy of that.
Where you have
that line.
Again, the drainage issues like we talked about, where you put parking parallel under the sidewalk there, it's like, that makes kind of, I thought it nice.
We'll give you some buffer between the cars and your kids.
Your pedestrians, yeah.
Because your kids are going to be on sidewalks with bikes and scooters. And it gets them off the away from the traffic a little. But you're going to have to designate 62 feet for.
That's in the 90.
That's wrong with the one in the middle that's 60 foot, 34 foot road with sidewalk and gutter.
That must be on the first page. I don't have it.
It's on the first page.
ST1.
Yeah, I have that. ST2. ST3 is all I got.
And then they have a three lane example out. I guess that three lane is for turning lane.
Turning lane.
And then just a regular rural private lane is 26 feet, which is 2 feet wider than a lot of our roads here in town.
Well, that's the same as six now, though. Six is 26.
Yeah, we do have some that are 26. I think fifth's pretty close to 26. Seventh?
No, private road, I think that's way too big.
Yeah.
It's huge. That's a, would be a road going past the Spencers and.
Right.
I think going up the elementary school, that makes more sense with buses and stuff like that going up the.
So I guess if you want to have that landscaping in between curb gutter and the sidewalk, 62 feet is about the minimum. I mean,
or is right away.
What's the pavement on that one?
Pavement would be 10, 20, 36 feet. So you got 8 feet on each side for parking and a 20 foot
road.
Road.
Is that on secondary?
Two lane parking both sides. That's a 62 foot major local, is what they're calling it.
Yeah, and to me, that 20 feet seems too narrow. I mean, I'd like to see that be at least 24.
Well, if that's a major local.
But they've got 8 foot, they're parking, which that gives you a little buffer.
Not much, though, if you get a car parked there.
But if you get cars on each side of the road, then you've got a 20-foot driveway.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing our secondaries is 24.
Yeah, I think you need at least 24 for traffic.
And that, they're saying is a major, right?
Yeah, all under major local.
But what's the 6-foot and the 5-foot on that particular?
So that's the land, 6-foot's the landscaping, the grass in between your curb and gutter and sidewalk, and then the 5-foot's your sidewalk.
So really, if you've done the 6-foot and on both sides where it's landscaping, had that be your sidewalk? Actually, you could do a 5-foot sidewalk, but it came for now for
ADA is required.
So that would give you, that way you could go 5-foot sidewalks with a 2-foot gutter. Now you could have, that would extend your road 2 more feet. That would give you 22 feet on your road width. That makes sense? You could add that 8 feet, it'd either be 9, or else you could go 11 and 11. Or you could go the 24 like you're talking. You could have 12 foot and 12 foot. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, in the center section there.
And then still have the 8 foot of parking.
Right.
I like that.
But then we're going to have to bump it. It'd have to be bumped out if we want that landscaping in between the sidewalk and curb.
No, I'd get rid of that.
I don't know, I don't like, I want sidewalks around the back of curb. I'd rather have something in between it. It's like
between the sidewalk.
And what's the purpose of that?
Keep your people right on the edge of the road.
But most developments, that's what they're doing now, is having the curb and the sidewalk poured together. Correct me if I'm wrong, most developments.
Just depends on what type of development you do.
And then you put your utility hookups, like your meters for your water, and all that is on the property line. That's on the back side of that, on the people's lot.
I mean, it probably boils down to preference, but
I think you got you're talking main collector versus residential. I think there's going to be a difference there. And the main collector, you probably do want that buffer.
Yeah.
Because the speed limits are higher.
You higher speed limits on the main road.
With the residential.
But when you kick off into your cul-de-sacs, maybe you
don't need anybody coming in on my property and digging up the water meter.
No, it'd be better to have it out there.
Once I start landscape, I don't need anybody in there gouging around.
Well, that reason is I should have that buffer too.
Yeah, I still agree with that.
So you're saying
have the 5 feet. Yeah, because then you can put your water meter in there, and it'd still be city property, and you could go in there without running into that.
What do most of your developments do, McKay? What does your developments do? Do they get their hookups, your meters on the property side, or in the planner?
ST1.
Usually just right inside the property, right inside the property.
That's usually what they do. Is this planner space, does that ever accommodate the utilities, like the meters and stuff?
Telecommunication power, I don't know how big your equipment is.
It would be tight, yeah. A lot on major roadways, I could see maybe if you got, I know in some areas that's like Spanish Fork and stuff, they have some of that little strip, but it's on a major road. But actually, most of us riding, like what he said, riding on the property.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the way they're doing them.
Transforming secondary lots.
All your meter and everything is in the lot now.
And they get that 10-foot right away for utilities.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to do one more. We can do it the way we set it up. I mean, we don't have to fall suit, I guess.
Right.
It depends on preference. The other thing I like is the safety thing with it is reality. You ain't got kids that are, you got a little bit of visibility off of it. Even if you got a car parked there, it's walking right next to that car, it's going to be harder to see that kid versus 5 feet back. So, I mean, there's, you know.
What was your name again?
McKay.
Like he mentioned, you could have that on your major.
Yeah.
Higher speeds.
And then once you you know, branch off in your cul-de-sacs, maybe you don't require it
in your smaller residential areas, but, and then I wouldn't want parking on the road then either, you would want to keep it up the road.
I couldn't imagine having parking in on the, in the itself, but then I.
We have.
The problem we have is enforcing it. Because that's what people are gonna start doing, is parking, right? Right up on that curb.
The other question is, if you require curb gutter, then, you know, it's not a lot of stormwater infrastructure today, so where do you drain your stormwater?
That's a whole other.
I think you're gonna have to have a retention basin engineer to catch that stormwater somewhere in the subdivision.
A lot of these are going to what they call low-impact development, which I think is really, really cool. It kind of rolls the curb, instead of collecting it all and piping it into a detention, they roll the curb, and in that little park strip, it can be a kind of a divot.
So is it gravel or asphalt?
The cement.
The road?
On the road divot, like you're talking, so you gotta.
That can be like stone, it can be grass still.
But it's not asphalt, is what I'm saying. It's something for the water to dissipate, so you're not shipping your stone.
If you Google that, you'll see, you know, all of those designs.
Well, there are stormwater rules and regulations to get more and more pain about it.
Yeah, you can't dump it off.
Your property.
You have to, it has to be maintained, managed within the subdivision. Which makes it hard, I mean, and in reality, we probably only get two or three storms a year where you even have water running down the.
Well, it depends again, how much parking lot you got though.
Yeah, the more you got for asphalt, the quicker the water.
Yeah, the more roads we get with.
The more water you're gonna have.
Yeah.
I know they do undertown or underground retention basins. Coulter's not the biggest fan of those.
Well, that's what some of these swells, they call them, are. Some of them you could do with the natural contour, and you can contour it, and then some of them, they have the box underground retention in that partnership, but that actually can be cost-effective for the developer, because the money you would spend on the piping and all of that, you're just spending the box right there, keeping it on site, and it's more environmentally friendly, because you're not taking it all to one spot and dumping it, or taking it to a sewer treatment plant, or wherever, I don't know what your system is here.
They don't have any wastewater, just sewer water.
There's no storm water.
There's no storm water.
Yeah, so everything, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's putting in all that storm drain pipings. Really not an option.
Well, we talked about earlier about parking beyond the property, didn't we?
You mean on the property?
On property parking.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of different things, so yeah.
Well, and I think that depends on if it's a major road versus a residential too. Like your major roads, definitely be hard to park on property, because if it's a.
I'm just looking, you got the 62-foot and 60-foot here.
You're on the page one, right, ST1?
And I think the 60-foot, that one's for a turning lane, right?
You're talking about one, there's two lanes parking on both sides, that's your 62-foot major ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with your 2-foot curb, and your 6-foot in between, and then your 5-foot side.
And that 6-foot in between, and that's where you're talking about catching that stormwater. It's kind of a roll gutter.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways to do it. Some of them have.
It could be gravel, it could be grass.
Yeah.
And you can have catch basins in it.
Yep. But that 34 feet of pavement is a lot of pavement for a residential subdivision. That's going to be a wide road for when you go across that it's going to feel really wide, because most streets today are 24.
You got to think about even maintaining it in the near future. It's like great when it's installed, but here again, we got to go back and we got to snowplow them every year. We've got to maintain them. We've got to do all this other maintenance on them, so it's...
Yeah, that's showing.
It's not cost-effective.
That's the next problem.
36-foot road, but it's allowing for parking on each, on-road parking. And we talked about how do we enforce us people from not parking there. Because their families are going to come home for Christmas and they're going to park in front of their house right on the curb we got here.
Yep.
Just go, just like anyone else, go to California or a different place like that. When we went back to California, we rented a house back there. I parked out by the curb, got a ticket. The next morning, I had a ticket on the window. You had to pay it. You just go lay around it. But.
So they just need to understand.
The next morning, you just left the ticket up, or so they wouldn't give it to you again?
So I moved the car. But they only have it. See, and it was weird because certain days they do like their garbage, their recycle collecting, right. I guess, right. Which I had no clue about. Yeah. But I got a little ticket right there in the window, and I just had to pay it.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can't park right there on the road.
That's the biggest thing, though. Again, we got to look at what we can maintain.
Well, every one of these roads are either 28 feet or 34 feet or 36 feet.
On majors? Is that on the major?
This is major local, three lane, no parking. Minor local is 28 feet of asphalt. That's in Mapleton.
This is Mapleton, so that's it.
That's on, well, it's different format, but that's sheet one. That's sheet one of Mapleton's. Their minor local is 36 feet. Or no, excuse me, 28 feet.
Of asphalt, yeah.
And then they've got a planter and a walk. And then public utility is that 10 feet in. So you wouldn't have that basically. That's on the people's property, right?
Well,
it's just a right of way.
That's what I was going to say. So 32, 23, and 23 overall, you're still less than the 99 feet that we have as far as from basically from where you're right to your public utility easement to the other side of it.
78 feet.
That's a 78 foot, basically, I guess you could call right away versus.
Yeah, but you could take 20 feet off of that and you got a 58 foot, which is probably, with this, you'd have 58 foot and then you'd have that 10 foot of public utility, but that's on the people's law, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a 58 foot
well, that's, you know, 8 feet's a lot of planter.
Well, 28 foot road, that's 4 feet wider than what we would be doing too on top of it. So if you're going for a minor,
plus you're 2 foot to curbs on each side.
So you don't, I
mean, you could park on those, people that have to ease by you, but you wouldn't be parking, you know, I mean, they'd just be short-term parking.
Yeah, you'd have to understand holidays and stuff like that. I think 8 feet planters is way, way, that's big.
Unless you could use that somehow for catching your stormwater.
When that be nice. Like half set those together and then roll that, had to be lower than the road. So the guys were drawn up on the grass there. So
what is the, what was it, 66 foot down there through, right away through the county road now? On the easement? Down by where Alan put that in, what was that, about 66?
I can't remember, was it 66 or 62? It was one of them, and I can't remember which one it was.
So technically, this would kind of fit in that. Let's do a little bit of modification to fit that into that, because I think most of the county roads right of ways are 66. Julian. like going down across, like coming back across where you did the,
well, I think
burn up that substation and that. Because eventually if all that gets annexed in, I guess that makes it easier to fit that into that existing road, that's what I guess I'm getting at. Versus like a 99 foot.
Right.
Because then you got to get into the properties and take out a bunch of the property.
Ultimately, everything that's already been in existence, utilities and everything that way.
Now, if you made that, if you had that 2 foot curb and then had that, and the 6 foot sidewalk or a 5 foot sidewalk, then you could have your public utility begin there.
The public utility doesn't have to be in the right of way, but I can see in the utilities.
Right. Which I think is more the trend now, right?
Yeah, you just require that whoever signs the plat, like utilities will sign the plat that has that on the plat.
Well, your sewer and water and everything runs right up the road, don't it?
Yes.
In the road.
Yes.
Yeah. No, the only thing would be on that planter would be the box, like the water box, the meter.
That would actually be in your PUD.
You think? Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity and question, and then your water would be a good idea. Both Manaquin and Mapleton both have that planter section. Well, I'd be curious what their reason why they went with that. If you could ask somebody up there, just say, hey, what was the reason why?
I don't want to go for this person to read.
My other person off right on the curb.
When they're sitting out there, and you got an 8 foot planter there that you can set it down in.
Great, I think. That design's great on your busier roads.
Well, and the other thing that I just kind of was thinking of is that having that 8 foot, when you plow these roads, if you don't have that 8 foot, where's your snow go? Goes on your sidewalk. If you don't have some kind of a
parking, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you're not going to park, then you plow from one end of the road to the other, and if the sidewalk's right on the edge of that road, then it's going to push all that snow
right. Yeah, road's right on the sidewalk.
That's my biggest concern is where we don't have wastewater, stormwater, I better rephrase it, stormwater drainage. To me, we almost need some gravel sort of
something there to
catch it, but we got to enforce how they got that dip because too many of our roads, they've brought the gravel out higher than our roads, so then it throws the water back out in our roads.
Well, that's
it. We need some place there to catch some of this stormwater and dissipate it in.
Yeah, it's where crown and drain off into your.
Yeah, and then come back up to your
side
yards.
So if you go with a 5 foot planter after the curb, which for your drain, for your drain water, right? Or grading snow, you got a place to pile your snow, and then a 5 foot sidewalk, that would leave you, that would give you a, basically a 52 foot road. And then you'd have your public utility on the outside of that, which would be 62, 72 feet.
That public utility usually on inside the
park. Right, that, yeah, okay. that's what it's designated here.
Right.
So I just changed the 8 foot planter to a 5 foot planter and then a 5 foot walk.
Uh-huh.
And that basically leaves you with 72 feet. Or excuse me, 52 foot of road with sidewalks and planter with a 10 foot public utility easement. So that's a 72 foot with the easement instead of 78 foot. That gives you a 5 foot planter.
You cut the 6 feet off of it there.
Well, you cut the road to 28 foot, or I mean 24, right?
No, the road's 28.
Yeah, you wouldn't want a 28
foot. You wouldn't want a 28 for snow plow.
Well, right. You wouldn't want a 28 anyway, even on a, well, if this is on a minor.
If you,
are we talking minor road?
This is a minor local.
Yeah, I would just say 24.
Well, then you got a dang narrow road.
Well, that's fourth east is 24.
Because that way you couldn't even park a car there to run something in without blocking traffic. I think that's way too narrow. That's my opinion. You're right back to the 50 foot stuff.
Yeah, and if you look at the 62-foot major local on Santaquin, ST1, they've got that 8-foot parking area.
They've only got a 10-foot.
So.
Road.
If you bump that out 4 feet and have that 12, 12, 8, 8.
Which page you on?
The Santaquin, the ST1.
Oh, you're back on that one.
That's the design I keep going back to that makes more sense for us.
The 62-foot at the top?
Yeah, major local, and that but gives you a 20-foot road. I think that should be 24. And then have that's, 8 feet of parking, or for snow, I guess, on either side.
But not do it in asphalt? Just have the road with with gravel on the sides?
We're thinking of doing the gravel in that 6 foot in between the curb gutter
right,
and sidewalk.
Right. So what's the 8 foot? Is that asphalt?
The 8 foot would be asphalt, and that would be where you'd have on-street.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if when you just run asphalt to and have gravel on the sides, that's what wears our roads out.
Yeah.
If you have asphalt cleared to the gutter, then your drainage is going to be taken care of, and you're not going to be wearing your roads out.
Well, they're showing the gutter there, 2 foot gutter.
Yeah.
Right, and they
then
basically
that gutter would drain into that 6 foot.
Right. Planter or
and instead of down the street, it would roll into that 6 foot gravel or grass area. And could we drain the water off the road that way? I mean,
it's a question for a civil engineer.
Yeah.
But the concept can be done, yeah.
That makes your asphalt, what is that your overall asphalt?
36.
So that makes you a 36 foot of
yeah.
asphalt.
Yeah, 36
feet
of
asphalt.
And the only other thing we do, if ever it's too wide, is just not allow on-street parking.
Well, then you're back to the 28 foot of asphalt on the curb and the planter. Now you're, that's...
You'd be down to 24
that's a,
feet.
That's a compromise.
On the curb if you're not going to allow street parking.
And maybe that's what we need to do, is just...
To help encourage, you can write into your residential zones, require two, driveway wide enough for two cars. You can require that in a residential zone, and that'll help alleviate. And I just think that here people are used to pulling off because there's no curb, and you can park right there easily. But when you get a curb, I think it's going to deter, with a narrow road. It's going to encourage people to pull into the driveway if they're visiting.
What do most places up there require for like parking stalls? For say, is it per bedroom or is it?
Well, on single family, you're usually just per home. It's two stalls, and that can be in the garage, it can be two on the driveway. However, you can do that. It's how you see single family. If you get into multiple dwelling units, that's where you see per unit or per bedroom. And usually, on average, it's about 1.5 to 2 per unit. So if you have, a unit is a whether
it was
a 1-bed, 2-bed, or 3-bed, it's still
going to
require 1 to 2
stalls. I like the wider road, as far as parking that way. The only thing that scares me is the reality of the maintenance of the 36-foot road. We can't afford what we got now. Now you throw a 36-foot road in there to maintain on top of it. So maybe growth would help, but still.
You're just going to have to prohibit on-street parking. And of course,
that's... I mean, I just...
But again, I think that goes back to what we're talking about, though, is what road design you have. Because, again, we're too used to our big 99-foot right. roads towards, you can park anywhere you want to, basically. If you narrow this down to a 24-foot road with a curb,
well, and
just like
a lot
you
of
say,
people,
it eliminates that. You have to pull in a driveway. You have to pull
in. Well, that's kind of how the subdivision is.
Even from that curb and gutter, occasionally you still see quite a few cars, but they do have pretty good wide roads.
They have the 99-foot road, pretty wide roads.
Yeah, I don't know what their road widths are, but they do have wide roads, and it doesn't affect it as much. But they do, they have curb and gutter, and maybe they have these wider roads. I don't know.
You look like a subdivision, like you're saying, it's a narrow road, but usually people are on their driveways.
Yeah, they can't park on the road.
Because
right.
it's not wide enough.
So they hold
your plow. So on a 36 road, well, you take 3 cuts down there, 4
Four.
Easy four. Because it's on an angle, so you ain't cutting the full 12.
Yeah.
So on six south, how long is that?
26.
4,000. 4,000. If you want to get all the snow all the way off the road.
Yeah, but how often do you do that? You make four passes on each road.
On 6 South.
On 6 South.
Yeah. One leading up to the elementary school, because it's 2 foot wider than a normal, than most, well, a lot of the roads are only 20 feet wide.
So you plow on the dirt then?
No. So when you're blade on an angle cut, you're not getting full 12.
Right.
So you have to actually go hit it, up and back.
Well, all of these communities then that have got all of these streets that go to the gutter are plowing all those, making all those passes.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they're getting by just fine. We only plowed, what, twice this year?
Probably more, but not much.
Not much.
And then I could want to plow four passes on pit pass too.
I know, but two days of plowing through the whole winter.
So what's most of our roads? 24 feet?
24 feet average, yeah.
So if you go to 24 foot road and make them, the code is a double car driveway.
Uh-huh.
You've alleviated the parking on the streets and you've cut your roads down. And then you can make your 5 foot and then your sidewalks.
Use that for storm water retention.
Yeah.
And you've eliminated a hazard with kids flying out of the driveway and not darting behind a parked car.
That's what I was going to say. You got to make that retention small enough that people won't try to park on it.
Yeah.
Because that's part of our trouble now.
They'll drive right through that road gutter onto the gravel and.
Or onto the sidewalk.
That's parking. Because if you want your water drained to that gravel, you're going to have to go down from the ground to the center of the road to that point.
Well, you're not going to stop some people just from pulling off like there anyway and just running in for a minute. Just to, you know, as long as it's understanding,
worry about too much about that part of this.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have people that are going to go off there. If you guess that, it or anybody else, how they're going to.
I mean, we can't police. You're going to be able to stop and park for a little while and do the thing. I think what we got to do is try to get something like for a residential area and then the main entry road bigger. That's where we got to go. I'm just trying to get this narrowed down to.
Okay, you look on page ST2, that 55-foot rural local road. That's the road you're talking about right there.
Probably.
Except it's showing that. Well, I guess that 8 feet on the shoulder.
That's what we got right now.
Yeah, it is what we got right now.
I'm going to say don't show the sidewalk. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, where are you going to put a sidewalk? Out there on the 8 foot?
On the outside 8 foot is where you got to put it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to have 10 feet or 11 feet of gravel between the asphalt and the sidewalk.
You'd have 8 feet.
You're not going to have any gutter then.
Yep, that would be no gutter.
In that design.
Well, I'm not happy with it, but if that's what you
want. Well, the 4 feet, most sidewalks are 4 feet wide.
Well, I think the standard now is five.
They're 5 is the standard for
me. You got to have to
buy a half to meet ADA standard. Well,
if you're doing anything new, let me put it that way.
Anything to have federal funding, or even I wouldn't dare go less than 5 feet on a sidewalk.
On a sidewalk, no?
On a public place, you'd be in trouble.
So then make that area, that 8 foot would be 3 foot for drainage.
Well, you wouldn't have to have the 8 and 8, because they've got 8 and 8 there.
So they basically got 24 feet of asphalt, like we were talking about.
Yeah, they've got 24 asphalt, and 8, and then 8.
So they're saying basically it's 8.
If you put a gutter there on that with gravel, the gutter's just going to fill up with gravel. You're not going to have, your gutter's not going to carry any water down it because it's going to be full of gravel.
I agree with you on that. Every one I've ever seen that's that way is this, and it's got gravel and washes.
Have you ever seen a development with that 8 foot of gravel and then a gutter and a sidewalk?
The new developments are not exact. The low impact development is not exactly like this cross section, because that 8 foot sits down lower, and it's you couldn't drive a car into it. It's
isn't it?
They're using like cobblestone,
big heavier rock,
and it's down lower.
Everything's down below it.
It takes all your drainage off the sides instead of...
Kids are going to be playing in the road again like they are here, and there's no sidewalks and no gutter.
Well, we could throw a sidewalk in behind, in on the other side of that.
The other side of what?
So I'm looking at the cross section, the 55-foot rural local road.
Right.
On ST2, the top of the page there.
Right.
So you got your 8 feet of gravel on the shoulder, and then beyond that, you could put in a sidewalk, a 5 foot sidewalk. If it's elevated.
So are you going to put a sidewalk without a gutter?
Yeah, and I guess that's the purpose of that gravel, is to take the place of the gutter, because the water would drain off the road into that 8 foot cobblestone or gravel. And then if your sidewalk's elevated a little.
Well, all your roads wear off on the sides.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's why I like this cross section with Santaquin at the top of ST1. The 62-foot major local. If we took that design and did away with the 8 feet of parking on each side and went with the 24-foot asphalt road and then had the curb gutter, and then gravel or grass, and then your sidewalk. But then where does your curb gutter drain the stormwater?
Well, that's where you can do these boxes in that. So the curb gutter,
you'd have a catch basin in the gutter.
Catch basin in the gutter. Uh-huh. Gutter. It's almost just like a pipe through the gutter, and then goes into that 6 foot planter that is recessed. Okay. So you can't park in there, or drive in there.
Yeah. So you still got your containment, your curb gutter.
So you got and curb that, gutter running.
And that water will just drain off through the curb into that.
Yeah. They're more like this cross section.
And I like that design. I mean, that's probably the most realistic.
Do they put the curb out there on the edge of the asphalt, like you're saying, and then put the rocks? You had a comment?
My name's Brennan. I'm actually a civil engineer. We're in design engineering here locally, and we're out of Richfield. So, yeah, I've done a few designs like this, like it's the LID stuff as well, and you know, all these ideas are great, and just we're working with a community right here locally that you can do these LID drainage swells, which is kind of hard to manage all your stormwater just in those swells, just because you're 6 feet, you usually go 3-to-1 slope, you only have a foot depth, you know, so that's not a lot of storage in those drainage swells to manage all your stormwater for the development.
And the wider the asphalt goes, then the bigger you got to have that drainage.
Usually you've got to manage all on-site drainage in your development, right? You've got to run your design storms, all that, figure out your storage requirements. And then another community here, Quells, they have these gravel sumps where you can have your curb and gutter, then you have a collection box manhole where it goes into a big sump, you know, so you're not running a lot of infrastructure pipes and all that. It's just a box that goes into a gravel gallery, gravel sump that size kind of like this LID stuff that he's talking about. And typically when there are swells, there's not a big curb and gutter because it kind of looks weird aesthetically. You know, you have your curb gutter sitting up here, but the grade's here. You have to have curb cuts, so you've got kind of like a curb sticking out. So usually you have like a mow curb or a 12-inch curb that's the same elevation as your road where it just sheets off into that. So you probably want to look at both those scenarios. If you got curb and gutter, maybe require some kind of, you know, infrastructure, storm drain, gravel galleries, and then if you want the swells, then you go a different look with your curb and gutter. And not everyone likes to look at the swells as well, because, you know, I mean, it's
not as clean and neat, is it?
Yeah, you get rocks, then rocks get weeds, and people don't take care of them, or if there's grass, you got to irrigate it somehow, dries up, and so there's definitely.
And who mows it if it's grass? Because it's in the city right away.
The city would have to take care of it because it's in their right way. That's on
different. Yeah, thank you. That's.
And this gravel swell you're talking about, is that on the surface?
Yeah, so it's exactly what he's talking about. That the water sheet flows off the roadway at that crown and then goes into these swells where it's managed there. But you're at the same grade, it goes off at a 2% slope, then you're going down at a 3-to-1 grade. Usually you don't want to go steeper than that right off the road. So your swells are only a foot deep because you're 6 feet wide, right? You go 3 feet down and one up, catching your sidewalk. So really not a lot of storage. I mean, they do work and you do use them, but you usually have to have something additional with your swells to manage all your water.
Going up through that.
You want the 24-foot road?
Usually. Because you're not just side gutter stuff for your roadway, for your houses, for the whole
thing. So, I guess at the end of each street, it's like other brands. Yeah, we can lay into and soak up there.
Yeah. Well, with that curb gutter, you're going to have a storm drain plan.
That's what I say, start up a storm drain. I mean, why can't
the curb gutter
do it to have every street drains like they're supposed to down into.
And I think it's essential to have that curb and gutter to keep the shoulders from deteriorating and breaking up.
Absolutely. Just like Kevin said, every place we don't have curb and gutter, the road breaks off and breaks away. Or
some type of concrete strip there.
Yeah, and usually with the drainage swells, there is like a foot, you know, curb that's at the same elevation, same slope as the road, so yeah, it helps prevent that. You just probably need to look at a few different cross sections, you know, let the developer or whoever, you know, what zone it is be required to follow either one of those. You know, if he wants to put infrastructure in, curb and gutter and retention basin, you know, he can build that out, or if he wants to do more LED, if you want to implement that more, there's, you know, different rules and regulations.
It's create the optionality again.
Every place I see that 8-foot space or 5-foot space between the curb and sidewalk, most of the residents is planted grass and they got grass out in front of them. It looks nice and clean. They take care of it. But I've got it at my house between my sidewalk and the curb.
On State Street then?
Yeah. On State Street.
How wide's it?
Well, it's probably 30 feet wide.
Oh, that's true.
My sidewalk.
Your sidewalk.
That is because I set my sidewalk grass down.
Yeah.
That's on the
speed limit to main highway.
Yeah, so you want your distance back further because you're going 45 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour versus a 25 residential area.
See, that's what I was saying about earlier, though. If you put them boxes inside the sidewalk in there, now you're coming in, people's got their yard all done and everything. You come in there and dig that up, they're not happy.
It wouldn't matter if it was between your sidewalk and the road, though. You wouldn't be happy because they're in your grass area.
Well, the city owns it. I own the property on the other side of the sidewalk. I expect that if they're. When I come in and do my water meter, I expect they're going to dig that lawn up there and have to do it. Where if it's on the other side of the sidewalk, now I'm not going to be very happy with it. They come in there and start. Besides the fact they usually run over the sidewalk and bust it up, and you wind up replacing sidewalk and everything else. I think the more we can do to stay away from public property and stay away from their problem, the better off we're going to be. That's my opinion. I like the 24-foot road and that 56-foot, 55 rural local road cross-section, ST2. And ST1's a good one too, 62 feet. That 5 feet on the other side, you could knock that down 10 feet and go 52 feet there with that design. Forget about that.
Forget about what?
The 5 feet on the other side of the sidewalk.
The 5 feet is a sidewalk on the 62, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That is the sidewalk.
You just lose your...
You got a 6 foot... It's a grass strip is what you got there.
Then your curb and gutter, you just lose 2 foot off of your, well, let's see, 6 foot on each side for your, to get to your 24, right? 6 foot off each side of the 8.
See, I like the one on page 1, sheet 1 of 1 on the Mapleton at the top of that page. That's a designated as a 32-foot minor local. This one on page ST1, that's designated as a two-lane parking, both sides, 62-foot major local, which I would like that on certain streets. And you got, you basically got two 14-foot lanes, which if you plowed that down from the middle, both sides, you're gonna basically have 4 foot of place to put your snow on the asphalt. And you could actually, instead of the 8 foot planter, you could go to a 5 foot planter and a 5 foot walk.
Yeah, you could there.
But it's already got a 5 foot walk.
And then you'd have your public utility easement. That'd basically give you 58 feet.
I would still cut your asphalt down to 24 feet if it was me and do the 2 foot.
But what you're get, so now you're going to have that little strip of gravel there.
No. Keep the same plan you got, but where this, the Mapleton calls for 28 feet of asphalt, go to 24 feet of asphalt.
And, I do agree, you ain't good short. I think that you are going to have some parking, like on the majors, you're going to have bigger roads on your majors, and you probably are going to have parking on the roads.
You're not going to have any parking
certain roads are going to have that, no matter what.
You're not going to have any parking.
So,
if you put your gutters there.
But on theirs, they see they've only got a 20-foot lane on that, and I'd almost bump that to 24.
Yeah.
You know, so keep everything 24, and then just on your majors, bump it to where it's got that 8-foot parking on each side.
Mm-hmm. So keep the parking on your major roads.
On your major roads, keep your parking.
And then your minors, like Kevin's looking at, just do it.
Just do the same there, and then just bump it to a 24 and keep all your roads 24. Other than the 8-foot parking on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Then that gives your travel lane, your actual traveling lane, plenty of travel lane for 2 cars to pass in the alley.
So you go 24 feet and then you have your gutter?
Yes.
Yeah. So instead of 14, it would be 12-foot lanes on each side. On the minor one there. On the top, and then on the bottom, you would just bump those.
You're back on the minor one.
Yeah, on the top one.
Yeah.
Leave it like you're saying with the curb and the whole nine yards. Do just like that, but cut those 12-foot lanes. And then on the bottom one, the major one, increase those 10-foot lanes to 12-foot lanes. And then everything's uniform at 24 across the board. And then you still can leave that 8-foot lanes on each side of the 24 for your parking.
I like all that.
Well, then you got more asphalt.
I know, but on a major road, you're gonna have, on a major, bigger road, you're gonna have more asphalt, there's no way around it. I mean, it's.
And what would we consider a major? What would, what you have in city limits right now, what would you classify that as?
Well, that's a hard part.
I would classify.
Second south, second north?
Well, theoretically, you talk about a scenario. What if they go from Fifth North up to Mountainville Highway?
I mean, that's.
That's your major road. Everything off of that's minor.
You know, your Fifth West should be a major reality.
That's what I, so, you know, so my reality right now on our city roads would be Fifth West, Second North, Second South, and probably Seventh South.
Yeah.
Would be major roads.
Well, anything that's leading where you get major traffic on, as far as all the development going up into Pine Creek, you got all the development going up around Mountville and the Skyline, and it's, I mean.
Right.
You're starting to get more of a power plant, same thing. Well, and you get all the order.
The state's going to the school the same place.
Yeah, six, well, but the problem with it is it's not a full-time thing. School's only so many months a year, and then it drops back down, but there's hardly anybody to use it. So that's the kicker on that one.
It's like you said, Fifth North out there, so it would be a major all the way up through the.
Through that whole thing.
Straight east and west. Then everything going off of it would be a minor.
The trouble we've got now is we put a lot of 50-foot halfway up that, so it's like.
It's neck down.
So you'd almost have to go back to the.
Well, you're gonna have your grandfather roads.
Right.
You're not gonna get away from that.
Moving forward with these subdivisions, their final plat has to be approved by planning and zoning. We'll look at the final plat.
I guess you could do the major road going up Fifth North. The only thing you'd have to be different, you'd have to get rid of the planter box and have your sidewalk right on the edge of your curb, which would then allow your 50-foot road.
Yeah. Well, and in a smaller, if there's not a whole lot of residents in that, it might be just fine. You know, really, if it's not a real busy section right there or something, because you might not have as much. I don't know.
So again, I just think for like when we're talking these developers coming in, so again, Fifth North, then we should have as a minor local, and that would be the design, and where we've got just a 50-foot right away there, from now on, that's extended that road away, you know, for them, that's what we're going to adopt.
I guess the basic thing in my mind is why we're doing this is we can't fix the problems we have now.
Right.
Reality, we're trying to fix the problems we're going to have in the future.
So if we go with major minor on that Mapleton lot, we probably would take care of our needs, correct?
Except for, we bump the 14-foot split down to 12, and the 10-foot split up to 12, so we end up with.
You can take two feet out each planter.
Yeah, and then the planter, do we really need an 8-foot planter?
That will get you down to that 50-foot, right?
Yeah, well, we would have a side curb and a planter out. Because right now we only have a 50-foot on each side,
and that 10 feet. We could squeeze that planter out and get that other for.
Yeah, push it out?
Yeah, on the major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we could.
That's what the mayor was saying. We could push that out in the walkway. And
to get your 4 feet there, just.
To get your 4 feet.
Turn that into a 6-foot planter.
So that would be your major.
Yeah.
And then everything else going off of it would be a minor.
That would make it pretty simple because then it's all right there and yeah, and your drawings are all right. They just adjust a couple of the numbers. And
so you're going to a 6-foot planter on the major local? Is that what you're talking about doing?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here's what I found on the web.
Apparently somebody said something about Google.
It's a cross section.
I didn't hear anybody say Google, so.
But the developer, we're in agreement that we're going to have curb be better.
Yes.
The developer's going to have a storm drain plan, an engineered storm drain plan that we'll have to review in the plat, the final plat. They're going to have to come up with a storm drain solution.
Do they have, like, storm drain, they have like a big sump at the end of maybe two blocks or something?
No, you can't go that far.
No?
It all depends how, we want to manage it, how the developer wants to attack it, and, you know, the rules and design standards of what they're required to do. Sometimes they can put in distribution lines or transmission lines to a one localized location, mostly usually at the low point of the property, you know, put a detention basin in. They'll manage it, they'll detain water and release it at a controlled rate into like a tailwater irrigation ditch or something where the existing water's going before they impacted it. Or you can do localized, you know, these gravel sumps in the intersection or at the curb turn somewhere, and you just have to size them accordingly depending on how much storage you want. And that tells you your spacing, your size of the sewer throughout the development, so.
My only hot button with those is to do most sediment buildup in them.
Yeah.
You've got maintenance with those.
There is maintenance with those.
Is that like a contact?
Not that quite, you know. It's just a concrete combo box.
What do you think about those?
Gravel underneath.
But those are better for dealing with as far as like discharge permits and all that from the state. Because those don't have to require discharge permits from the state that I know of. If you're slowly even discharging that in the irrigation ditch, you have to have certain permits from the state for your water. And certain people have to have certain certifications.
So that's a 12-foot planter? Or a 6-foot planter, is that what you're saying?
That would be about going to a 6-foot planter.
As far as.
And that low end, because we don't have the room there, see, we can squeeze that by spec. We get the rooms.
We already know the way up. For what flow you have.
Right.
Especially if you got curb and gutter.
Because of the width we got there right now, that would help facilitate that.
Because that's where our building is going to go. It's going to go north and east and we got west.
West and south.
You got that one in here, you got the guy up the gravity, you weren't already sending email to out.
Well, you got, they approved the one down.
There's talk on the southeast corner of town too.
Well, right, I remember old, I picture face by night, my mind's blank for his name.
But either way, if this is our code.
Well, isn't 50 foot up there, isn't that a narrow situation? Isn't that?
Lamont?
Wasn't that a concern?
He's already been approved for something.
On the north end, that single road going up there?
Yeah, we're having all the talks.
It's past Dan Anderson, that's.
Years ago.
Well, what's the Johansson subdivision?
That would probably be annexed in. All these design standards.
Well, what's the road up there in the subdivision? Is it 26 feet wide or 24?
No, it's not even, I don't even think it's 24. If it's 24, it'd be, I don't think it's 24 from this, in that subdivision.
I know from my neighbor's south stands property line to my property line is 26 feet. But that's not how wide the road is.
I think the roads are 20.
The road's probably 20, they probably average 20 feet.
Yeah. They're not that wide.
It's a quarter design. But what's done is done, and that's why we want to make sure what we're doing now is.
So you don't have parking in front of you?
There is no on-street parking. Unless you're pulling on someone's lot.
You gotta be on private property to park.
Four ends of your driveway.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta park on your lot.
Do you think that's adequate?
I would really like to see 24 foot roads.
But that 20 foot, going up there with fire trucks, I think it's too narrow.
It is, it's
bigger. 24 foot is what we've got to have standard for asphalt, at least, no matter what.
Yeah, I think those roads are too narrow up in there.
And if you, when we tried to pass park the one in there and coming out in a bigger truck, it sucks.
Well, and the families like to walk, go out for walks, kids like to ride their bikes, and when you're cramming all that on a 20 foot street, it's
this time.
It's a hazardous, really.
Okay, so what did we modify besides the lanes on the major local, the 40-foot major local?
So the lanes are going to be 12 feet, right?
Yeah. Now that's where we're squeezing in that 2 feet to 6-foot planter. There is a little planter lane, six, 12 feet.
So that'll go 6 feet?
On your planters, yep.
On your planters.
That'll boost your lane, your actual lane, not parking lane to the...
It'll spread your travel lane out 4 feet. And then a question I have about that public utility easement, that's actually owned by the property owner, or is that city property?
By the owner of the property.
Right, but we have an easement through there. So the actual road width after our adjustments would be 64 feet on a major local.
Be 72, or not, with the sidewalk?
Did I forget that in the sidewalk?
That'd be 12, 24, and the curb both sides would make 26, 28.
I might not have included the curbs.
I added the curbs in, 4 feet for curb.
So it'd be 40 feet.
Eight, 10.
It'd be 66 feet. That's with 6 foot planters.
A 5 foot sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that in two.
I remember it was 2 foot curb meter, I missed it. 66 foot road.
Right, total right of way, not road, right?
Right, right. So from edge of sidewalk to edge of sidewalk would be...
City right of way, what we're requesting.
60 or 50?
Be 66 feet.
See which would fit in, I think, what the county laws are, as far as right of way, which would make it easier.
You've got 24 foot pavement, 2 foot curb.
And that's on a major.
No, you'll have 24 plus 16.
Right, which is 40.
40 feet of pavement, and then 4 foot of curb.
So that's 44.
11 and 11 on both sides. So 22 more feet.
66.
66.
What it got to be.
And then your 10 foot public utility easement.
Right.
That's private property, but we have an easement there.
Right.
So that's what the developer needs to plan.
That would be like 20 more feet, 86, but that's private property. We just have a easement.
Right, so they need to plan on 66 foot road on a major local.
So the road going down to Alden's ought to be a major local.
Yeah, and it should be 66. That's what I think is 66. The county right of way is 66 on that road.
I think they got it at 46, the roads, right now.
So the minor local...
Well, they're planning to be this.
We're not gonna do on-street parking.
No.
So we're gonna have a 24 foot wide road, 4 feet of curb and gutter, 28. Do we wanna do 6 foot planters?
That's what we know. That's how we got the 50 foot, was going 6 foot planters.
Okay. 24, 4, and 12.
Well, isn't that right of way, that little lane that's behind up there where he would tie back into the city on the right of way, that's 66.
I think 66 or 62.
I'm pretty sure it's 66. I'm almost positive it's 66.
So your minor local's 50?
Yeah.
And your major local's 64.
Now, do we want them that narrow in new subdivisions?
Yes.
I mean, we're making them 50 foot out there to accommodate an existing road. Thoughts?
To traffic in a residential, if it's a residential subdivision, the 24 is, I think that's perfect. That's what we would want.
That's 4 more feet than we've got up in this high neighborhood.
So on the local, on the minor local, how are we getting it down to 50 foot?
We got 12 feet and 12 feet is 24.
Right.
We got a 4 foot curb is 28.
Right.
We got 12-foot.
With bunker planter stacks.
12-foot of planter.
What's it, a 40 on the side?
And then 10.
40, all right.
And then your sidewalks.
Add the curb twice, that's where I was wrong.
Well, they're easy enough, those should be easy enough to... I mean, those are pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think in a minor subdivision itself, 24 feet is plenty of road.
Oh, yes.
Just require on walls and they have to...
They have to have a two-car...
Yeah, two-car parking.
I mean, required.
Then we've taken care of that.
Yep.
Because they can pull up in the garage and pull another car behind.
He's mitigating those that will try to park.
Yeah.
There's gonna be...
Yeah, you're prepared to have it, I mean, but...
That's something that...
There's gonna be someone, but you mitigate it by doing that.
Well, it makes it easier for them if they go in a subdivision, like an offshore, if somebody's just...
All right.
Still online?
Already.
It's pretty...
He drops off.
He dropped off quite a while ago.
So let's take the subdivision west of town there, Steve Johansson's. Is that gonna be a minor local?
Within a subdivision is, I think the road going to a subdivision is a major local.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, down, but...
So you're gonna have...
Within the subdivision.
You're gonna have those minor, those narrow streets and one-acre lots.
But with an acre, they ought to be able to create parking on the property.
Yeah, they'll have plenty of parking on there.
Oh, yeah, they'll be able to park. I just wonder about pulling in with a truck and a trailer and all.
Horse trailer.
Jumping out and saying, all right, there you go. Throw the horses out there.
So on a, well, somewhere along the line, I've got 40 feet here that we agreed to from gutter to gutter.
With Alden, with Steve?
We changed that to 50. On the second drawing they gave us, it was 50.
Because they come the first time with 40-foot, we said, no, our minimum is 50 feet, so they went back.
So he redrew it at 50.
Yeah.
So on those bigger subdivisions, with a bigger lot like that, can't we require saying that they have to have a minimum of maybe two parking and a parking for like a horse trailer, a bigger trailer?
An RV park or a trailer?
You know, or some kind of a can't use, I mean, I don't know why we couldn't put it...
Well, if they keep it narrow, they're not gonna be able to park out in the road, so...
So as far as a quarter acre lot...
They'll pull everything in on the property anyway, if one acre, they'll pull around behind.
If they ain't got enough room on an acre, like...
Well, again, we eliminated the parking on the road because there's no place to park.
Right. So...
The curb itself too, they won't be able to pull off and be half on the road and half off, so... I think it's a good solution.
And it solves safety.
Well, in essence, we're going with Mapleton's major local and minor local.
Yeah.
Corrections. With adjustments.
Yep.
With a 6-foot planter.
Right.
12-foot asphalt.
And a 12-foot road, 12-foot asphalt.
Major, are we gonna go 12-foot?
On both.
Just like it shows, only you changed the 10 to 12 on the major. You went wider on your street. And then on the minor, you cut 2 feet off of each, so you cut 4 feet out of that one.
Yeah.
And you have 6-foot planters on both of them.
And you got 6-foot planters. Those are the changes we've made.
I think that just keeps everything straight across the board. They've got different numbers and everything.
It's uniformed.
Yes.
Minus the only difference could be your 50 versus 66-foot.
And then we'll have to worry about the commercial and all that other stuff on a different night.
But we could probably draft a resolution for this, right? For our next meeting to... Are we gonna have a public hearing first?
Should probably do this in ordinance, honestly.
You what?
I would suggest you do it as an ordinance.
Okay, and then what we ought to do though along with this is we ought to change this RA thing. Let's resolve that one. We've already resolved that we need two-car drives on RS. And then our residential ag is still at a quarter acre. Do we want to leave it that way?
I think your general plan call for on that survey wanted it left the way it was.
On your 10-year plan?
Yeah, on the 10-year plan, it did call for...
Well, all we're doing is increasing the lot size. I don't see people having animals on a quarter acre lot.
Chickens and goats.
There's a lot of people I know that have chickens on there.
Well, chickens, yeah. Chickens, I don't consider chicken animals.
No large animals.
You're taking horses and cows then.
No, well.
That's a bird.
Cow, sheep, chickens, and frankly, if I had a neighbor and I was in a residential and he brought in a rooster, that's hard to go away. Somehow, some way.
I don't know if your code addresses that, but most of Utah County allows up to a certain number of chickens and no roosters.
Right.
So you can just write that in.
Right.
Yeah, I got a rooster across the street, peacocks right now.
That's what I'm saying, peacocks are worse than roosters.
Oh, yeah.
My neighbor's got turkeys.
But do they do it in the morning?
Oh, that's like a baby crying.
They're morning, night.
Morning and at night, especially just before it gets dark, they're over there, they don't shut up.
Something else we need to do, I think we need to get in this ordinance.
You've heard of the law, and that was.
In combination with the road widths, it's the language here on improvements.
Heard of the law, buddy.
Says all streets within the city shall be improved with pavement, oil, gravel, asphalt, or concrete. And I think we need to take that gravel language out. And they have to be improved with pavement. Oil gravel would be a road-based double chip seal?
Yes.
Are we going to allow that? Or do we want pavement or concrete?
I think again, the results we're having with the Fourth East. That's basically a gravel double chip seal.
So they need to be improved with pavement, oil, gravel, or concrete.
I would say an approved oil paint or gravel deal. Because there is a variation. I don't know that.
We don't get that.
I don't think on a major street I'd want any double chip seals, I can tell you that. I'd rather see them as a.
How well it's going, I don't know if it's not going to be a thing in the future for a lot of streets.
To what?
That double chip seal.
Yeah,
that's a
temporary patch is what it is.
Huh?
It's just a temporary patch, really, I mean.
Well, I hope Fourth East is not just temporary.
Well, that's that composite, that lithotech composite. I'm talking about the road base and the double chip seal.
They hold up okay, and I've seen in residential and light traffic, but it's hard to get heavy traffic. That's where I mean, I don't know.
Well, if you're interested, you go down there to San Juan and see, that's on a major road.
You mean that Fourth East stuff? Yeah, to me, that's different than regular double chip. That's not double chip.
I'm talking like a regular double chip.
You're just saying it's spread out the gravel and double chip seal is what you're talking.
Yeah, and versus this other stuff.
Approved compository.
Whatever, yeah, they're big language, but.
Yeah.
I mean, regular plain out chip seal, I'd be nervous with.
Yeah.
Well,
I know it holds up decent like a Meyer Mill, but.
That's what I'm saying. Light traffic.
Somebody come with a track on and skid it just a little bit or something.
It rips it up.
The whole road's gone.
Yeah. Why don't you break it up?
Once that seal broke through, you're on it.
And if you maintain it and you stay on it, it's not bad, but.
I agree with you. We need to get rid of that.
And
we're going to include that in the order all the way around, right?
Get rid of the gravel.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't improve roads with gravel. But it says in the ordinance right now, so.
It says in the ordinance you can. In our code, I guess it's a code, not code.
Right.
So.
But I'm in agreement with everything we've decided so far. I'm going to have to be excused to go to work, though.
Well, I got to go, too.
We've made a decision now.
I think we've made progress tonight.
Yeah, we made our decision. We're going to adopt this Mapleton with adjustments.
Right.
Yep. Major local and minor local.
Yeah. Everybody square on the adjustments we made?
I feel good about it.
I do too.
We're going to have to tackle that zoning later, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we need to tackle.
Well, Okay, appreciate you guys' input. Thanks for being here.
Les made the motion, Sam seconded, and done. All in favor?
Aye.
I think we're gonna have, that's a good show of design.
Yeah.
I wish it was right in front of my house right now, but it's not, so.
Well, for the future though, we're gonna leave here, whoever leaves, councilman, mayor,
he's a safer community.
Yeah, we tried.
They deserve it. People live here.
We tried.